Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Joining us in 30 minutes, we promise today, Brian Westbrook, former Eagles running back who will join us at 3:30, we promise. But joining us now, he never played for the Eagles, but man, we love him anyway. That is one Shiel Kapadia. Hey, Shiel.
How we doing, guys?
We're doing
what up, Shiel?
Good, Shiel. We're doing good. So before we get to the Rams game, of course, as usual, we want to talk to you about the Eagles passing game and Jalen Hurts. And read in a post you did on The Ringer, that was excellent post, you know, looking ahead to the playoffs or the games this weekend. You mentioned in a post about the Eagles passing game that according to success rate, in the last 10 years, there have been 219 playoff performances by quarterbacks. And Jalen's ranked 205th or 204th. And every quarterback behind that, those games were lost by that team. So first, could you explain what success rate is? Because there's a lot of numbers out there that people see. Could you explain how that works?
Yeah, it just means something positive happened on the play. So that could be a completion that went for a first down, a scramble that went for a first down, a completion on an early down that picked up a certain number of yards. So all the negative plays would be, you know, incompletions, sacks, passes that didn't gain a lot of yards, all those. So the big point there, without boring the entire audience here, I mean, it might be too late for that, but the big point is that most of the time when you have a passing game like the Eagles had last week in the playoffs, really, if you look at the last 10 years in the NFL, it's rare for that team to win. And so, you know, I've been struggling all week with how much do I actually need to talk about this and not, because they keep winning and they're two games away from getting to the Super Bowl. At the same time, I just keep having the sense that if and when the season falls short and they lose, I think we can all look at it and it feels kind of predictable, you know, to predict what we would be talking about after that loss.
So is there this isn't how I feel, but could you make the case that the stat is not capturing what he is supposed to be doing? Like, could you make the case that with this Eagles team at this point and what he is used to do, that like, you know, sometimes QB rating doesn't calculate what a quarterback does correctly, or QBR or whatever. Could you look at it and say, look, with this team, with what they want him to do, that like maybe he played better than we perceive that he did?
I mean, you could make that case. I would just say it's not just Hurts. It's really reflective of the whole passing game. So I know we've had this whole conversation all season long, and everyone has it been Jalen Hurts? Is it Kellen Moore? Is it Sirianni? Are there other factors at play here with the passing game? But I think, you know, you can't really, I at least don't believe you can make the argument that the passing game looked good last week. Now you can say, hey, the way they're playing, and I think this is what you're alluding to, is that don't make mistakes, don't turn the football over, and everything else is secondary, because the run game's going to be awesome. The offensive line is going to be good, and the defense is going to be awesome. So, yes, I would say the statistic doesn't necessarily capture that aspect of it, if you wanted to make that argument.
Yeah, do you believe that they can win this way, continue to play this way, Shield, whether it's this week if they happen to get by the Rams, taking on Detroit next week if they win, or if they play Washington next week? Do you think they can continue to win this way?
To me, it's not about, like, the volume, you know, like how many yards do they pass for. It's about when they do pass, what does it look like? You know, you can look at that first game against the Rams, and it's not like they threw the ball all over the field. They ran for over 300 yards, but when they did need to pass, they passed well. So to answer your question, if they pass the football, when they call a pass play or whatever, if it looks like it did last week, every week going forward, do I think they can win the Super Bowl? The answer is no to that, but also that was a one-game sample, and they've had other games here in the past. You know, this was very similar to that Carolina game, in my opinion, you know, what their passing game looked like. And obviously after that game, they bounced back, and it looks a lot different against the Steelers. So I think you need that improvement to get through, maybe not even necessarily this week. I mean, this week they're big favorites. I think you can run the football, play defense, and be okay. I think those last two games and beating the Lions potentially on the road and winning in the Super Bowl, obviously, in my opinion, you're going to need more from the passing game.
So here we are playing the Rams. The Rams had a pretty strange season in that they started the year with a lot of injuries. They start off 5-6. They finished the year, I think, 5-1, and then a really impressive playoff win on Monday night against the Vikings, all things considered. I guess the question is, how good do you think the Rams actually are?
Yeah, I think they're a solid team. I don't think they're a great team. I think like their A-plus performance is really good because they've got the quarterback and they've got the coach where, you know, if they play their, you know, A-plus game, then they can put up a lot of points. We saw them beat the Bills and put up 44 points. But my thing on the Rams coming into the playoffs was I didn't think they could do that multiple weeks, you know, 3 weeks in a row and come out of the NFC and get to the Super Bowl. I think Matthew Stafford, you look at his age and you look at the way their season has gone, he put up those monster numbers again in that game against the Bills. And the next 3 weeks, they didn't score over 20 points. So I think on paper, the Eagles have a lot of matchup advantages in this game. And I think they have a pretty big talent advantage in this game.
And are the Rams a different team today than they were when the Eagles played them in November?
Like their defensive performance against the Vikings was probably their best of the season. Now, was that a one game thing where they figured out a way to, you know, stifle Sam Darnold, or is that a trend? They did have some better defensive games down the stretch. I still don't fully buy in that unit. You know, I think they've been very good in the red zone. If you look at them throughout the rest of the field, they haven't been great. I think their pass rush is very good, but when their pass rush doesn't get home, their secondary isn't very good. And I think this Eagles offensive line, if you can protect Jalen Hurts, if you can run the football, that you're going to, you know, you have a chance to expose that Rams defense. I think season long, it has not been a great unit.
Yeah, one Eagles defensive question. How much do you think the loss of not having N'Kobe out there impacts the defense?
Yeah, I do think it's a big deal. Now, it's one starter, but you look at linebacker and you look at the way Sean McVay wants to play with a lot of play action, with a lot of motion, you know, really messing with the linebackers and trying to expose those guys and throw the ball in the middle of the field. So I do think it is a factor, and that's why, you know, it all ties together. I think the defense is still going to be really good, but it might not be quite as good because N'Kobe Dean was playing at a high level. So how do you make up for that? Well, there are other areas of the team, like we just mentioned with the passing game, that have to be better. So, yeah, I would expect McVay's game plan in a big way to target Oren Burks or Jeremiah Trotter Jr. or whoever's playing linebacker alongside Zach Bond and say, hey, let's mess with that guy a little bit and see if we can attack him in the middle of the field.
I've been trying to contain my excitement about Jeremiah playing Sunday. Obviously, happy for the young man. He's going to get an opportunity out there. And there's no disrespect or slight towards Oren Burks, but I think this could go a long way for Jeremiah as far as potentially solidifying himself a spot for next year in that rotation if N'Kobe doesn't come back healthy next year. So I think it's a great opportunity for Jeremiah to get out there.
I mean, I'm looking outside the window, a little snow coating. We get a little snow on the field. We get Jeremiah Trotter Jr. with a tackle for loss.
Come on, Axe. Bring out the Axe. You
and,
know it.
That place will be going wild. So it is exciting. I'm curious to see how they if they actually do rotate those guys. Does Trotter Jr. play maybe some of the early downs when you're expecting run a little bit more? Mm-hmm. How do they just rotate them? possession by possession. But, yeah, that was very interesting what Vic Fangio said this week, and he's been a pretty straight shooter all season long. When he says something like that, you pay attention.
Oh, yeah.
It really comes true on game day. So I'm excited to watch him as well.
So, Shield, today on the show is Tell the Truth Thursday, and we respect all of our listeners, but we do feel like sometimes when they call up, they do a little chest thumping about how good the Eagles are. So we really want to dial in on exactly how good. So what we're trying to do is rank likelihood to win the Super Bowl. And we saw on NFL.com, one of the writers there had the Eagles as fifth most likely to win the Super Bowl. What teams would you place ahead of the Eagles right now, if any, in likelihood to win this year's Super Bowl?
Oh my goodness. Likelihood to win this year's Super Bowl. Okay. I'm going to put the Chiefs there.
Yep.
I think they belong there. I have to put the Lions there because the Lions are playing at home in the NFC Championship. They will be slight favorites against the Eagles if that ends up being the matchup. So I would put them there. And then I might put the, you really could put the Eagles third. I might put the Eagles third on that list because the Bills and the Ravens have to play each other.
Yeah,
this weekend. So I'm looking at that, and I think those are two very good teams, and either of them could win the Super Bowl, but the Eagles don't have to do that. They're big-time favorites against this Rams team. So I think I would put the Eagles third, and then I'd probably go Bills-Ravens after that.
All right. Shiel, every week at Thursday, 4 o'clock, when you join us, you make your prediction. But these predictions mean more now because the games mean more. So your official prediction for Eagles-Rams on Sunday.
You know, I noticed Fritz, when I got a couple wrong, he would bring it up. But, you know, season-long record.
Oh, that's how he is.
In some of these picks, I don't think he's mentioned anything. I like the Eagles in this game big time. I think this is going to be, I don't know, blowout is the right word. I got 27-14 to just get it out there.
Oh, wow. Classic homer pick.
I think they're going to run the football all over this Rams defense, and I think they're going to create some turnovers with their own defense. And I think by the time you get to, you know, the 6-8 minute mark of that fourth quarter, it's just going to be a party down there, and we're all going to be looking forward to that highly anticipated NFC Championship game in Detroit.
One bonus question on this, because we were talking about it with Elliot on Tuesday, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, if you had a pick, a head coach quarterback combo, Sean McVay, Matt Stafford, or Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts, on their own, who would you pick?
Like, I just ended on a positive note.
Well, no. It leads to a second question.
I think Stafford and Hurts is, I would go McVay and Stafford.
Okay.
There you go.
So saying that, just thinking back, and I know you didn't prepare for this, but I just wonder how many times you would pick a team in the NFL playoffs who you think has the advantage in that duo. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's such an interesting Eagles team because I have a lot of respect for Sirianni specifically. Like, Sean McVay, I think, is probably the second best head coach in the NFL, but it's just so rare that at least as I think about it off the top of my head, that you would pick the team that you, in the playoffs in the NFL that you feel like has the disadvantage there.
It's true. I mean, a lot of times when I look at the matchups, I say, all right, which team is better in the passing game? But this Eagles team is so overwhelming in all the other areas. The defense is so dependable and reliable. The offensive line is the best in the NFL. And it just, to me, feels like a matter of time in all these games where even if it looks ugly, Saquon's going to make a play. A.J. Brown's going to make a play. So it's like the all Jimmy's and Joe's team is really their offense. It's not like, wow, what they're doing schematically is brilliant or anything like that. It's just like their guy's going to be better than your guy at some point throughout the course of a game. So they can, you know, even if they don't necessarily always have the edge at quarterback or whatever it might be, they can still win those games.
All right, Shiel. Well, hopefully next week, this time, Thursday at 3, we are talking to you about the Eagles in the NFC Championship game.
All right, guys. Take care. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, Shiel. Shiel Kapadia. That was a little bit of dirty pool for me. It's just asking that question after he but the question popped up in my head, and I thought he would be an interesting one to answer that.
Yeah.
We have to say, and this happened, I don't know if it was last night or this morning, but rest in peace to the great Bob Uecker, 90 years old. 90 years old is quite a run.
Man, give me 90. I'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. I might not want to make it right now. Yes. legendary play-by-play announcer, and then, of course, became... And he was, you know... because of Major League, became even more famous nationally. But a guy that you never really heard any bad story about ever, and is exactly what, in my opinion, a play-by-play baseball announcer is supposed to be, which is not one way, but particular. Like, you know, like different in a way that is...
It's unique.
That unique in a way that's unmatched. And the way that HK was, that Fransky is in New York when I was up there when John Sterling is, just very specific, unique. Vince Scully,
did,
the GOAT.
Did he play for the Phillies?
1966 and 1967.
Okay. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. But a total GOAT. Yep. Just awesome. You must have been a Euchre guy, right?
Oh, yeah. Just a bit outside? Come on.
Yeah.
Just
Mr. A bit Baseball. Outside.
And also passed away, and I know you guys probably don't care about this much, but David Lynch, who is a legendary movie director, and I don't know if you remember the show Twin Peaks, but Twin Peaks was David Lynch, and then he, the original Dune, The Elephant Man, Blue Velvet, Mulholland Drive, all his movies, Lost Highway, super weird, but that's what I kind of like, so.
Yeah, you're right, we don't care.
I know, I care.
Like, which is why you mentioned it.
Yeah, I care about David Lynch. Just two very different goats that die in one day. Yes. It kind of sucks.
Give us Bob Uecker. David Lynch, I have no idea who that is.
I tweet at Ike that David Lynch is also a goat. That's all I want you to do. Every once in a while, I need that for me. I know I'm the only one here, but I wanted to say because it just happened.
All right.
215-592-9494. It is Tell the Truth Thursday. Where do you think the Eagles rank in the hierarchy of teams most likely to win the Super Bowl? I have them fourth. Jack has them third. Ike has them up to second.
And barreling towards one, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though I see that we don't wait until a segment is over before we actually put the video out.
What video?
Well, I'm already out of saying third.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the internet goes quick. You know what, Justin?
That happened in the first segment. I changed by the time the first segment was over with.
But here's, no, it was second segment you changed.
Oh, it was the second segment?
Yeah,
okay.
Second segment. Here's, because we came back from the second segment. Here, I'm going to ask Justin, because Justin's our video guy for the show now. Justin, what I want you to do is reply to that tweet with another video with Ike moving up to second. And then eventually in the show, when he comes to first, that video is going to get
just leave it at third.
Billion retweets. No. I want the second video. All right. 215-592-9494. Orlando from Wilmington. Orlando, you're on WIP. What's up, Orlando?
Oh, beautiful guys, man. Thanks for having me. This beautiful radio station representing all season landscape and our Hey, guys, look, I got an opinion myself, man. You know I'm a Commanders fan.
Okay.
And this is. They all rank how they're supposed to be ranked, correct? And I'll tell you what, by the time it's all said and done, the Eagles are going to be ranked second just right where they at.
So
you're a Commanders fan that's actually an Eagles fan, too?
No, I'm just a Commanders fan.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. All my friends are Eagles or Cowboys. My nation is somewhere else, not this local. I just want to say one thing because it seems like everybody – giving suggestions on all the teams that are ahead of everybody, but it's an even playing field. Look, guys, for real, I think it's going to be us and y'all. The tables are set for us.
I hope so.
So I hope y'all better make it. We're going to make it.
Well, listen, I'll tell you what. If the Commanders win Saturday night, the Rams may just don't even go to the link. Just go straight back to L.A. Just catch the first flight in the morning Sunday back to L.A. Because with the opportunity to host the NFC Championship game, they got no shot at winning. No shot at winning. I'm talking about the Rams.
The Rams.
Yes. Yeah. So if the Commanders win Saturday night, that means if the Eagles win, we're hosting.
So there's no chance if that happens they get a little look-aheady? The Eagles, you know?
I don't think so. I think they come out pumped up knowing that they got a great opportunity to host it.
Oh my God. Okay. It's your opinion. I'm telling you, the tables are set. NFC Conference Championship from the same division.
I hope you're
the
right.
The Raiders are going to be off the wall, off the roof, the ratings. Look, my quarterback, which is in this dance right now, we have the chance to do something special.
Isn't this cute?
Yeah.
This is depressing. This is a rookie quarterback. There ain't never been a rookie quarterback.
Hey, Orlando. My boy B. Mitch is on right now with J.P. Finley down there, man. You want to talk Commanders and get in your community with the band? That's great. We only care that you win Saturday.
Yeah, just win Saturday. That's all we want. Actually, this will be cute. Orlando, why don't you tell me what you think of Josh Harris as an owner?
Oh, there you go.
Josh Harris, listen, ever since he got there, man, he made the right moves, man. I love this love guy.
Can you put your seatbelt on?
Yeah, it sounds like you're beeping or your door's open or something.
Listen, man, I'm trying to tell you, what a better conference champion.
Put your seatbelt on. Can you put your seatbelt on?
Whatever we're trying to get, we got to go to y'all. I'm trying to tell you, nobody can play us.
We're not trash-talking with Commanders fans until y'all win Saturday.
This is going to be awesome.
It's going to be hard. I ain't saying I can't get it, but we're going to do it game by game.
All right.
We got to establish the run. Bottom line.
Who is we? You talking about us or the Commanders?
He's talking about Commanders. Hey, Orlando, just real quick, if Josh Harris was in front of you, would you give him a little kiss?
Ah, man, listen, I give him a big hug, man.
What about Magic? Really want to thank our fans.
You Magic down there?
The man was doing all the right moves so far.
All right.
I see somebody pick up Josh Harris Monday night.
Thank you, Orlando. What's that?
In celebration.
Oh, did they?
I think somebody on the
Sunday night, you mean?
Was it Sunday night? Yes, Sunday night. Yes, Sunday night. On the sideline. I think I literally saw a Redskins official, team official,
or
a coach.
Yeah, oh, pick him up and celebrate.
Yeah, like picked him up and swung him around.
Dude, I need a Gatorade bath on Josh Harris, man.
Well, I mean,
think about how weird he'd be,
dude. If you are a Commanders fan, it has been heaven for them this year.
Oh my God, a completely different world. And he's getting that stadium is horrible.
Right.
He's getting him a new stadium. They have a franchise quarterback. They won a playoff game.
Yes.
It must be like they woke up in Bizarro world. None of those things happen with the Commanders.
Yeah,
it's
20 years. None of that happened under Dan Snyder.
Yeah, they had the moment with RG3, but that ended.
Yes,
right.
And Dan Snyder.
I don't even know. Did they win a playoff game with RG3?
No, because he got hurt in the playoff game.
Remember, oh, okay. Didn't he keep playing in the playoff game?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Josh Harris, great owner.
Did turn the Sixers around.
They
did.
They didn't exist in this town before. Elliot tweeted the other day. Somebody asked me, Elliot tweeted the other day that he can't remember the Sixers ever being as invisible as they are now. And I'm like,
oh, hell yeah.
Elliot,
did he start following sports in 2016?
Yeah. Like,
they were dead from 2004 until 2013.
13, basically, yes.
They didn't exist. They won a playoff series and nobody cared when they beat the Bulls. Nobody cared at all.
I was at that damn game.
When he hit the free throws?
Yes.
I
jumped up on the table.
Yep. Yeah. I came on the radio after that game as like I was an Iggy guy. Mm-hmm. And it was honestly to go on the radio as an Iggy guy after he hits those free throws.
Guy. Yeah. But that game and the game 5 against Boston.
Was it good? Yes.
I was at that game.
Yeah.
I might have saw you at that game.
I was at that game.
Yeah. I think I saw you at that game. Yeah. To get it. No, it's a game 6.
Yes,
Force a game
it's
7
game
and
seven.
Ball, force game 7 to Boston. Yes, that was a good game.
Yes,
Ike being an Iggy guy is actually surprising to me.
Oh yeah, I was an Iggy guy.
Well, because he couldn't score, and then you're a bucket guy. He couldn't shoot.
Yeah, but you know what? Back then it was Iggy or Thad.
Oh well, that's pretty
right.
Thad's still playing,
right?
Yeah.
I mean,
Thad Young might be still. Is he?
He's been playing on like the Bulls as like the ninth man for about 6 years.
I don't know if
you
he's
were
playing this year.
Thad Young or Iggy.
Yeah.
Or Iggy, man.
Those were the choices we were making at the time. He got in a fight with my wife at that Boston game. Left early. But then we went to Game 7 in Boston, and she tried to fight a bunch of Boston fans for me. So
that was a little pistol starter.
Oh, dude, that's Delco. That's Delco.
2011 when Lou Will hit the shot to beat the Heat.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a moment.
No, yes, that was on Easter.
Yep, on Easter.
On Easter.
Yep.
Yes,
great things happen on Easter.
Yeah, absolutely. So coming up next, legend Brian Westbrook. We'll talk to B. West about Eagles Rams. Want to talk to him a little bit about the Saquon record thing, you know, because there was I remember the tweet from him during the Giants game. Would have had the record already. So the great Brian Westbrook joins us next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. You put a DMX song, I'm just going to let it go the entire time. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. The great Brian Westbrook joins us momentarily. Oh, you're telling him that he's calling right there. Yeah, well, we had, you know, yesterday we were supposed to have LeSean McCoy on at 3:30, and we weren't able to get him. And I was wondering if this particular time on this day was cursed for former Eagles running backs. But as it turns out, it is not. It looks like we're going to get some weather on Sunday, by the way. There's a decent chance of some precipitation and snow and rain and wind. So I wonder, you know, that certainly plays into the Eagles' hands, you know, as a running and defense team. The Rams, you know, two great wide receivers and a great quarterback. But if it is snowy and windy and rainy, I will take the team that runs and plays great defense over the other team.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And we're accustomed to playing in this.
Right.
So, I mean, although I'm not one of those ones that believe that teams, when it's cold, they all of a sudden can't play football anymore. Like, I don't necessarily, maybe for some, like, I guess maybe for the Dolphins, sure.
Right, where it's 85 degrees all the time.
Yeah, but for the most part, for the most part, I'm like, are you on the air?
No, he said the Bucks.
Yeah. Well, the Bucks. Well, no. Yeah, the Bucks. That was a shot at me.
Yes, it was.
Yes. See, that's actually the reason why I don't buy into it as much anymore.
It's because of that
damn game.
Yep.
We talked about that so much. Below 40 degrees before. Yep.
Like, never won.
Yeah, exactly.
And here he is. We're lucky enough to be joined by the great Brian Westbrook. B. West, how you doing, man?
Good afternoon, fellas. How's it going?
What's up, B? Now, we lost that game to the Bucks, but B. West wasn't B. West at that time. That was your rookie year, right, B?
That was my rookie year. And I just remember the last play of that game, really for the game for us anyway, was when Rondé got that interception. And I'm on the sideline watching him run down the sideline. The vet was completely silent. It took everything in me not to jump off of that sideline and just go tackle him. I mean, that's how I felt at that time. That hurt me.
Well, you got would have gotten would it be a penalty? I mean, right?
Yeah, it would have stopped the touchdown.
It would have stopped
though.
Touchdown for sure. Yeah. It's funny, B. West. I worked in New York for a few years and worked with Tiki Barber pretty closely. And he looked at me. He's like, I know they don't like me in Philly, but they hate my brother much more than they hate me. And that's like that is for sure. So, B. West, I know it's sort of old news by this point, but we haven't talked to you about it, and I wanted to hear your thoughts on it, on the whole. And I remember seeing your tweet during the Giants game about Saquon Barkley and going for the record. I've been wondering if you were in that specific situation, and that specific situation happened to you. Like, how would you have processed all of that?
Well, I would have wanted to go for the record, just the same way that I believe Saquon wanted to go for the record. You certainly live your entire life not to break records, but to do well, right? And this is kind of the pinnacle for a running back, to be able to break Eric Dickerson's record that has basically stood for 40 years. That's kind of the top of the class for the running back. That's something that you go down in history for. And so you had an opportunity, a really good opportunity. It's not like you were playing one of the best rush defenses in the league. The Giants had literally nothing to play for. And the other part, you know, and this would have been selfish, but I don't even look at it as selfish. This is payback. This is just how it works. I want to do it against a team that said I wasn't good enough, the team that didn't want me there. That would have made it even sweeter. And so it wouldn't have been any doubt in my mind. I would have went to Coach Sirianni and not asked, but I would have demanded that that I play in this game, because that's how special it is. And not only to Saquon, everyone knows it's special to the offensive line, the wide receivers, the quarterback. It's special to everyone. Kellen Moore is special to him as he tries to get a head coaching job as well. And so, I think it's one of those things that we missed the moment for Saquon. He's been having a great season, and I think that would have been able to kind of push it over the edge just a little bit. Now, the Super Bowl, of course, that matters. But I think you could have achieved both of those things without breaking a sweat.
How good did it feel for you, man, to watch the resurgence of the running back position this year? Not just Saquon. You look what King Henry did down in Baltimore. Hell, Joe Mixon, Josh Jacobs. Like, all these guys changed teams and got their teams to the postseason. Had to feel good for you as a former running back when everybody's trying to basically make the position extinct, as if it doesn't matter as much anymore.
you know, you're right. So many people are trying to say it doesn't matter who you plug in there. Mm-hmm. That guy is just as good as the next guy. It doesn't matter, right? You know, it could be Saquon. It could be this guy or that guy, some third-round pick. And what has been proven this season, and really over the last few years here, is that's just not true. We see the difference between Miles Sanders and Saquon. We see the difference between DeAndre Swift and Saquon. Mm-hmm. And both of those guys were really, really good. But Saquon takes it to a different level. And you see the same thing out in Detroit, same thing obviously down in Baltimore. So many quality running backs in this league are now saying, we want to be a much bigger part of the offense. And I think there's a reason there. I really believe there's a couple of reasons. The defenses are now, they're playing nickel and dime almost all the time. So now you have to run up those fronts to get them out of that defense. But you also have to think about, look at what some of these young quarterbacks are doing. Are we saying that we're going to get a bunch of Patrick Mahomes and a bunch of Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, you know, that era of quarterback that can carry a football team? I don't know that that's what's coming out of college in that way. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking about the read, the RPOs. We're talking about quarterbacks that can't carry a team in the same type of way. You need a running game to be able to support that. And now you have guys like Saquon step in and just do you know, what he's done all season long. It's been amazing to watch. And as a former running back, I'm just continuing to root for these guys. They should get paid more. They should get the ball more. They should be more involved in the offense. And if they do that, they certainly, the pay will go up as well.
The great Brian Westbrook joining us right now. So where do you, this year's team, where do you think the Eagles stand in the hierarchy of most likely to win the Super Bowl? Who would you put ahead of them this year, if anyone?
Well, they're the most complete team in the NFL. There's no doubt about it. Offense, defense, special teams, they're the most complete team in the NFL. But we all understand that in this league, the quarterbacks are the king, right? When you have that Patrick Mahomes behind center, that changes the game. Josh Allen changes the game. Lamar Jackson changes the game. And so you certainly have to look at all those things. You know, for me, the only team that I would put in front of us would be Kansas City, just because they're two-time defending champions and they have that guy at that position, mm-hmm. at that quarterback position in Patrick Mahomes. But other than that, we can play with Detroit. We can play with the Rams. We can play with everyone else in the NFC East. And I think we can play with everybody else in the AFC. It'll be a great game. It'll be a competitive game. But I think our defense travels. I think our run games travel. And I think that Jalen will play good enough managing the football game to play to our defense, to play to our run game for us to win. I appreciate what has happened here from the coaching staff down to every player on that football team. What has happened in the locker room, what has happened this season, because it is a stark and drastic change from what we saw last year at the end of the season. We're seeing the team come together. We're seeing the team that can laugh and joke about A.J. Brown reading the book. I mean, just imagine, we're laughing and joking because he's reading the book. We win by 12 points. That's great, right? That's mm-hmm. a great time. We're not having the same conversations as we were a year ago. And so that means this team has gotten better. And I think a lot of credit certainly goes to Nick Sirianni and the things that he's been able to implement and do for this football team.
I think one of the things about Sirianni and maybe why he doesn't get the credit nationally is because he's not a play caller, and his job on offense or defense, and his job is a little more vague and culture oriented than people can put there, that can, you know, just touch and see. Can you tell me how important the head coach is in setting the culture for a football team?
Well, in any business, the head coach is the CEO of this football team. So in any business, you're truly only as good as your culture and as your leader is going to be. And so Nick Sirianni's job as the culture setter, the guy that rallies the troop, that brings everyone together, that's just as important as the guy that's throwing the football or the guy that's tackling the football. Now, you also got to understand Mike Tomlin, he's not calling defensive plays. Mm-hmm. John Harbaugh is not calling offense, defense, or special teams plays. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of coaches around the league that do not call plays on both the offense or defense, but they coach the coaches. They make sure that the coaches make sure that the players are in the right position at the right time. Mm-hmm. Andy Reid does it to a certain extent. He's not calling plays like he used to back in the day. And so there's a bunch of coaches that do it. I know that's something that a lot of people have picked up with Nick Sirianni. And what does he really do? If he's not doing this and not doing that, what does he really do? Well, he's coaching the coaches. He's the CEO. You don't see the CEO of Amazon delivering packages. That's not his job. His job is to set the standard. And now that the standard is set, now his team has to go out there and live up to that standard. Now, when the standard is not met, that's when the CEO steps in and say, hey, listen, this is not how we deliver our packages at Amazon. This is not how we are culturally for our football team. Nick Sirianni has done a very good job of that this season.
Yeah, it sounds like the family got a lot of Christmas gifts this holiday season. A lot of Amazon packages delivered to your house.
Like, look, my wife apparently has someone on the inside of Amazon this season.
Dude.
They just keep coming every single day.
Dude, you talk to any guy who has a wife.
Yeah, that's why I said that. Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm like, yeah, it sounds like a lot of Amazon packages done been delivered.
The number of times in my house, I go.
The CEO of Amazon right now. That's the guy that I need to talk to.
The number of times in my house, I'll passive aggressively say, hey, you got something from Amazon.
Right.
It's like 14 times a week, yeah. You know?
Hey, B, let me ask you this about Jalen. How, when you look at Jalen, right, going into the playoffs, we know how the season ended and everything. What's your confidence level that playing at the level he's playing at can get us to the Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl? Or do you feel like there needs to be more done? Are you okay with how he's being used? How do you see the quarterback position sort of having its impact on the offense?
Well, I think he needs to play better. There's no doubt about it. He needs to play better. But I do make a point that he's winning. And the expectation from Jalen Hurts is not the same as the expectation from Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is going to throw the ball 30 times every single game. Jalen Hurts not. He's going to throw the ball in the high teens, maybe the low 20s. That's what he's asked to do for this offense. He's not asked to lead this team on a 12-play drive, throwing the football 11 times. That's not what they ask him to do. And so many times, and I'm guilty of it myself, of saying I want him to be more like this and want him to be more like that. I want him to be able to control the offense more with his arm and not so much just his legs and handing the ball off. But that's not how this team is built. Maybe last year is a little bit different. Maybe a couple years in the future it may be different. But this year's team is not built that way. This year's team is you play to your defense, you hand the ball off, and when you have a shot, you take the shot down the field. That's how this team is built. And so I want Jalen to be more accurate in some of his passes, in some of the passes that he missed last week. And I think that will come just with more practice and more reps. But I don't know that Jalen Hurts will ever be Patrick Mahomes. But is he good enough to win us a Super Bowl based on the defense that we have, based on the dominant run game that we have, based on our ability to win in the trenches? There's no doubt about it in my mind. He has the ability to do that. I certainly want him to be a little bit more efficient passing the ball, though.
Brian Westbrook with us. So I get the sense you think the Eagles are going to win the game on Sunday, but just I guess your outlook for how this game goes, Eagles and Rams on Sunday.
Well, it starts on the defense for me. We saw turnovers created on the defense last week. Now, offensively, we didn't do as much with them. And some of it, again, starts with the rust and things like that. But I expect our defense to continue to create turnovers. This week, offensively, we're going to run the ball well. I think Jalen does get in a bit of a rhythm this week. The Rams are probably going to try to force him to throw the ball. I think he gets in a little bit of a rhythm. And we, as an offense, now we can find ways to score points when we get the ball back. I think this game looks a lot different, and I think our confidence in Jalen looks a little bit different after this week. Because if you're the Rams, you have to say, we have to find a way to stop the run. We put up over, 245 yards, 230 yards last time we played them. They're going to have to be forced to stop the run. Now Jalen's going to have to play much better, and I think he steps up this week. And so, of course, I believe that our team wins. We're playing at home. I think even though the Rams have played very well over the last quarter of the season, I think it's now time for our team to continue to step up, and I think they do that in a big way this weekend.
My guy. Wonder why when I say this is the best running back in Eagles history, he may not be the all-time leading rusher, and I love Shady, but the all-time leading rusher doesn't have the postseason moments that Brian Westbrook has, and that's where your true greatness shows up in the postseason. This man was our offense when we got to the postseason, and he shouldered that load in that frame. So I'm hoping for one of these type of runs from Saquon B-West to get us to the Super Bowl, man, because that's the type of talent that's over there.
Saquon is so talented. I watch him every week, and I'm saying, okay, there has to be a weakness in this game somewhere. There has to be something that he's just not really good at. And here's the weakness in his game. He's just a nice guy. He's too doggone nice. Real weakness in his game. He's too doggone nice. He's too unselfish. Believe me, Ike, if we're up by whatever, they were up by 12 last week, yep. I would have scored that touchdown. I'm going to take the knee and die. I would have scored that doggone touchdown last week. But listen, Saquon is special. I love the way he continues to carry this offense, and he does it with a smile on his face, and everyone around him absolutely loves him. I'm super excited for this football team.
All right, B-West. Well, we really appreciate your time, man, and good luck with all those Amazon boxes.
Appreciate it, brother.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, B-West. I have one thing to say about something that B-West said. After I'm going to tell you about Colonial, but right after Colonial Hyundai, I'm going to tell you about B-West. So, great news for Colonial Hyundai of Downingtown. If you were driving by Colonial in Downingtown there, you would see that for a while there, they've been working on the new showroom, and they were operating out of a temporary one next door, but the new showroom is finally complete. John Ashdale, the team at Colonial, they've been working hard to make sure that it is right for you, and it is right. It is a state-of-the-art dealership. It's going to make the process faster, easier, and better for you. It is easy, effortless to buy, trade, or upgrade at Colonial Hyundai. They're going to give you the most for your trade-in in the entire region. John's going to give you $6,500 for your trade, no matter what condition it's in. Over 200 vehicles in stock, all the Hyundais you even think about. Tucson, Santa Fe's, Palisades, Konas. And for a limited time, you can drive home a new Hyundai Elantra SEL Sport for just $119 a month. All of them going to come with a 3-year complimentary maintenance plan and America's best warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and Hyundai assurance. Online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. See dealer for full details. Now, this isn't what B. West was saying when he said it, but it triggered something in my head because he said Jalen just wins, right? Mm-hmm. He wins the games.
You hear that? You're triggered.
Well, I'm triggered because
beyond triggered.
I was listening to Elliot, and I want to be clear. This isn't what Brian Westbrook was saying, but the way he said it made me think of it because I was listening to Go Birds Daily, and Elliot said that he believes, I was listening this morning, wins are a quarterback stat. Here's my problem with that, and it finally clicked for me. If wins are a quarterback stat, then so are losses, right? So if you're going to tell me that Jalen just won on Sunday, even though he didn't play well, and they win, so he gets credit, then if he plays really well and they lose, then he didn't do enough, right? Like, if I have to hear on Sunday that he did enough to win, then when I want to think about the Super Bowl that we lost, he didn't do enough to win, and he has to own that loss too. So if they go up against the Rams and they lose 38-35, and Jalen throws for 337 and 3 touchdowns and runs for a touchdown, he didn't do enough to win because they didn't win. And that's the problem with he just wins, because he just wins only works one way. There's no way that he just wins people are going to tell me that he didn't play well enough to win if they lose in a shootout and he has great stats. This only goes one way. It only goes when the quarterback throws for 108 yards and throws 18 times and they won, and they say he just wins. He did enough to win. It's got to go both ways. If you played well enough to win, even if you played bad, then you didn't play well enough to win, even if you played good. So if there's a shootout and it's 41-38 and Jalen's stats are great, I don't care. That's a loss. And that I wouldn't do that. And that's why I don't buy into quarterback wins, because I'm not going to be silly enough to come in here on Monday and tell you that if Jalen lights up the scoreboard and the defense
craps the bed,
and that it's Jalen's fault. So do you see what I'm saying? That's the problem with it. And
well, I'm not a quarterback.
Yeah, you're not a quarterback
either.
Wing guy. But
well, except when it fits your narrative.
I am not a quarterback. I am a he just wins guy.
Right.
That's different than having that stat as a quarterback win.
I agree with you. And there is something to the fact that the team wins when he's quarterback. But if you're going to use
the Troy Aikman effect.
Yeah. If you're going to use wins as a stat and say, well, I don't care what his stats are, they won, then I don't care what his stats are when they lose. And imagine how insane that would sound to me. I'm just trying to communicate to the people who say the quarterback win. Imagine this is how you sound to me. When he has a bad game and they won, and you, that's another notch on his belt, it sounds as insane to me as it would sound to you if I came in here on a Monday and he lit it up and I said, didn't do enough to win, needed to throw for 5 touchdowns instead of 4. That's why I think quarterback wins are a bogus stat. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. We love Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers, it's engagement season. Visit the only jeweler with over 2,500 Google 5-star reviews, Mark's Jewelers, online at marks-jewelers.com. Where would you rank the Eagles among the remaining teams left in the playoffs as a chance to win the Super Bowl? 51% say they're first and second, 43% say third or fourth, and the rest say fifth or sixth or seventh or eighth. I would love to hear from somebody that thinks they're seventh or eighth. Boy, how disrespectful. I think
Cowboy, that's just a troll.
Yeah, Cowboy Jim is just sitting at home with his 18 different burner accounts voting seventh or eighth, you know? We still have a lot to go on the show. Coming up next, the great Mike Mayock joins us. Very interested to hear Mike's assessment of the passing game, as well as looking ahead to Sunday's game against the Rams. We'll talk to Mike next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.